Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you.
Hey everybody, it's your friendly neighborhood geek here. Due to some personal problems, personal situations with your beloved Kinky, she can't be here this week, so you get me, all by my lonesome once again, and what we like to call the Kinkless Geek. And I haven't done one by myself in a while, so give me a little bit of slack, because it's been a while since I've been alone. And decided to talk about something that's been through my mind now. A couple of times I've had these, and I've never actually spelled them out on tape, so I thought I'd go ahead and do it. And yes, we had been talking about movies a lot the last couple of casts, so I thought I'd throw these out. And there are two little laws, rules, laws, little theories, and stuff about movies. I got two of them. One I've had for a while. First one is what I like to call the Godzilla rule. And yes, I got this after watching Godzilla. And it only really sets with remakes. And the rule states that a movie would be a lot better if they would have called it something other than what they called the movie. Case in point, Godzilla. Went to Godzilla, been a huge Godzilla fan most of my life. Remember even playing Godzilla in the backyard, stuff like that. So I was kind of jazzed when I saw that they were doing an American version of Godzilla. Well, went, finally, ended up going to the Dollar Theater, and came out extremely disappointed. And as I thought about it, if that movie had been called anything else other than Godzilla, it probably would have been an enjoyable monster movie. But the sheer fact that it was called Godzilla put that, this isn't Godzilla, in my head. So that basically is what it is. It's a remake. If they had called a bad remake anything other than what it was a remake of, it might actually be a decent movie. I have a feeling that a lot of people think that way. Because you go in knowing what the original was like, and then you see the remake, and it's like, it doesn't work. So, the second one's a little more recent. And I like to call it the Ignorance is Bliss, a.k.a. the Constantine rule. Basically, it's enjoying a movie when you go to it, rent it, see it on TV, when you know absolutely nothing or very little about the source material. In other words, a movie where the fans of the source material would probably come after it with the torches and the pitchforks, Frankenstein style. But you, not knowing anything about the character, knowing anything about the plot, knowing anything about the original source material, you enjoyed it. And that's the way it was with Constantine. Knew very little about Hellblazer when I first, when I heard about it. I had a little bit of knowledge, but it came from the series of the Books of Magic, a four-part series Gaiman was part of. And there's a scene where the young character who's kind of the subject of the storyline gets left with Tina? Zartana. And she ends up taking him to this bar. Well, monster, kind of otherworldly bar. And the boy's got a price on his head. They realize who he is, and they're all getting surrounded. They have no, she can't take them all on. They're thinking they're going to get, and all of a sudden, Constantine shows at the door. Doesn't do anything, just stands there in his trench coat smoking, but everybody was afraid of him. No reason, have no idea why. They just are. So, when I saw Keanu Reeves in it, and yes, I did know that Constantine, the character, was a look-wise was actually based off of Sting. That's the way he was originally supposed to work. But, not knowing anything else about the source material, I enjoyed Constantine. I enjoyed everything, well, not everything about it, but it had some great bits. Shia LaBeouf, of course, was Shia LaBeouf. He doesn't really seem to do much more. And kind of had that thing happen this weekend. Because this weekend we went and saw Scott Pilgrim. Knew nothing about the source material. Had not even, you know, I had seen the books. I knew it was a comic book. I had heard a mixed bag. Some people absolutely loved it. Had some people who absolutely despised it. But comic book wise, it was the trailers that sucked me in. So I went and I had a blast with it. And go ahead, so those are my two rules. Scott Pilgrim didn't do very well at the box office. It actually came in fifth behind Expendables, Eat, Pray, Love, the other guys, and Inception. Now, it is kind of, a lot of people have had a problem with it because they thought, oh, maybe, this was a great, they thought it would be a really good movie, or do very well at the box office. My thing is I think this movie, though it did not do well its first weekend, has legs. Because I think this is going to be a movie that the people that go see it will be telling everybody, which I have been doing, go see this movie. You know, even if you've never seen the comic book, if you're a fan of 8-bit video games, if you're a fan of geek movies, if you're just a fan of funny kind of romantic comedies, because that's basically what Scott Pilgrim is. It's a geek romantic comedy. So, go see it. Hopefully, it will do better. I really hope so, because not as much for the actors-wise, but I love Edgar Wright. I've loved Shaun of the Dead. I've loved Hot Fuzz. I loved Spaced. A remake I really want to see, and that's he's doing the remake of Them, which is my absolutely my favorite monster movie of all times. So, hopefully of that. Another little thing I guess I'll throw in, and I'm stealing this, and this has just kind of come up watching True Blood, so this is more of a television thing. And I'm stealing this from, Widget Walls brought this up. He brought this up during talking about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And it's the idea of filmmakers, television makers, even writers, basically playing in the sandbox they built. And what I mean is if you set up a world, no matter what that world is, be it you have a man that flies, you have a guy who gets bitten by a radioactive spider, you have a girl that goes through these wormholes to deliver packages for Amazon. I'll believe anything you say as you set it up in your universe. Just don't fuck with your own rules. And in other words, if you set up a certain thing, don't go around and break it. Especially once you've already set the principle. And the reason I say this is it hadn't come up yet, but it's something that's happened in or hasn't paid off. But usually in stuff like True Blood and stuff like that, if a crazy person goes out and says something kind of poignant, that usually ends up true, even though everybody else thinks that person is crazy. Well, there was a couple episodes back, I want to say it was probably episode 7, where we meet Lafayette's crazy mother. Woman's been living in an insane asylum, where she basically looks at him and goes, "You're special, you got power." Now, like I said, usually the insane, especially in cases like this, that's like their one moment of clarity or whatever, or at least they see something no one else does. But what I have a problem with is what they set up in season 2. Where you had Marianne, the whatever she was, driving everyone crazy and mind-controlling them, but they set up that special people vampires, whatever Sookie is, shapeshifters, people like that, aren't affected by her. They you know, anybody that's basically special are immune to her mind control power. But we see Lafayette get controlled by Marianne. So my thing is if you already set up that only special people can be, and now you want to go, oh, well, we're going to give Lafayette powers, whether it's in the book or not, don't, you know, you're not playing it by your own rules. So that's just a little something I wanted to throw out. This is going to be a short one. Still part of our boo-boo. So, yeah, that's it for this time. Hope you enjoyed it. It's going to, like I said, this is a short one. You want to get a hold of us, best way is www.kinkyandthegeek.wordpress.com. Everything else should be there. Our links to our Twitters. As you know, you can either go with Fleshfinder or Mighty Bill if you want to find us on FetLife and or Twitter. But again, those links are on our WordPress one run by our wonderful web slave. And hopefully next time we could give you a little more information on our doings at Dragon Con. So that's coming up real soon. So, as you hear from the Aruka and her squeeing, maybe I'll even tell everybody about the first time of her time at Dragon Con. So, other than that, I think we're going to wrap this up here. So, be good.
Or be good at it.